See if this is starting to work. I just hit the record on this thing. Okay, so good evening, everybody. So let's try to ask our weekly question. If you were to make a halachic shir connected to Parshas Vayishlach, what topic would you pick? Not an easy thing. So Adam says Gid Anasha. So I did have that idea of Gid Anasha. In fact, in Y.U. Smicha, there's a rabbi who actually does a shechita. I had to go to a slaughterhouse in Patterson, watch the lamb get shechted, and that particular Rav controversially does Nikur Hagid. He has a Midora of what the Gid Anasha is, and he passes lehalacha as a Sephardi Rav that you're allowed to eat everything in the animal except for the Gid Anasha. Ashkenazi practice is far more machmir. So I actually almost chose to give that shir because he has all this Torah on his website. I thought it was a little bit less practical, though. Most of us, you know, you go to food showcase, you go to your local supermarket, you buy the food, and what it is. And I don't think anyone's shechting anything anytime soon. But that wasn't the running. Anyone else? Anyone else? Rabbi Weintraub, who else? It's not an easy one this week.
By you. Halachic.
What?
No, I'm trying to think.
Okay.
Show Weintraub.
So we know AB.
Forced Gairus.
Forced Gairus. You're saying for Shechem, Dina and Shechem? Is that where you're coming from? Yeah, so we had an interesting thing. You're talking about, you say Yaakov and Esav, Dina and Shechem. And yes, what, Adam? That also made that leg running. It's a big machlokes Rambam and the Ramban about did the people of Shechem, what did they do wrong that they deserve to die? Whatever was Yaakov upset. Mm-hmm. But Stuart Rubin received an email earlier today with Maimon Markomos because he told me last week that he wanted the Mekoros before the Shir. So we are going to deal with the Isser of what's called Chanufa this evening. That means you're not allowed to flatter people. There is a concept that if someone is violating an Avera and you say, you know what, I really like you and you seem to support their Avera, you are violating a biblical commandment. And Yaakov Avinu, in this week's Parsha, does flatter Esav. And we're going to learn that Chazal questioned this activity because was Yaakov seemingly giving some form of approval inappropriately to Esav. So let's take a look at the classical sources and we'll try to see a very practical question of how to deal with people who sin and what you're not allowed to do because that might be viewed by the halacha as encouraging their illegal behavior. So the parsha records, Vayomer Yaakov, Amna imna matzasi chein be'enacha Esav, please, if only you would find favor, if I would find favor in your eyes, v'lakachta min chasi miyadi. Please, Esav, accept this lavish offering, as we know, that Yaakov made quite an effort to make peace with Esav in the parsha. Please accept my gift, Esav. Okay, and he says, Ki al kein ra'isi panecha kirat p'nei Elokim. And Rashi explains in his first shot over here, is that Yaakov was buttering up Esav. Hashuvin alai kiriat p'nei hamalach. Seeing your face, Esav, is comparable to me seeing the face of an angel. So please accept my gift. Beautiful. Now, on that level, Yaakov is giving Esav a big compliment. Esav, you're like an angel. Please accept my gift. Sounds a little trivial, but obviously if you know, you're Yaakov Avinu and you need to make peace with Esav, you know, you're going to try to do whatever you can. However, Rashi quotes another pshat, and both of these pshatim in Rashi are going to come out l'halacha. So what does Rashi say? That the second pshat in Rashi was that Yaakov was not complimenting Esav. He was actually trying to intimidate Esav. When he said Malach, he wasn't calling Esav an angel. He was saying, no, I fought your angel. He was saying, Esav, by the way, you know that I fought with your Malach and I won? Do you know that I'm capable of destroying Malachim? Namely, don't mess with me, because I can even see an angel overpower an angel. So Esav should say, Malachim v'nitzal, Yaakov saw angels and was still saved. I'm not strong enough to overpower Yaakov. So you have two drastically different ideas in this Rashi as to what Yaakov was trying to communicate to Esav. So number one, again, was that Yaakov was complimenting him. And number two was that Yaakov was actually trying to intimidate Esav. So let's only focus on number one right now. If Yaakov was trying to compliment Esav, that is a questionable activity, namely because the Torah in Parshas Maaseh, Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Hey, Lamed Gimel, the Torah says, V'lo tachanivu es ha'aretz asher atem ba. Now, speaking in the context of Ir Miklat, about murder, you shall not flatter the land that you are in. And don't spill blood innocently on the land of Israel. Again, a broader context there, if we were to narrow in on what the context there is. But just to jump to the Torah Shabbat Peh right away, the Midrash Chazal pick up on now those words, V'lo tachanifu ha'aretz, harei azhara lechanifim. This mitzvah, this pasuk, is a warning, a mitzvah zlo ta'aseh, to people in the category known as chanifim, flatterers. Flatterers. So if you were to stop here and say, okay, the Torah prohibits us to flatter one another. So what does that mean? What, if I'm in a job interview, I can't flatter the guy's tie? I can't suck up to my teacher? If I'm trying to hit someone up for a donation for Shomrei Torah, I can't, you know, flatter them? You know, what does it mean? You know, in English, the word flatter has a very broad application. So we need to quickly understand what the halacha means and what the halacha does not mean. So the Yoreim is a little bit of an underrated Rishon. He counts the 613 mitzvos, and he counts this as one of them, as opposed to the more famous Rambam, Sefer HaChinuch, who do not seem to formally count this as an individual mitzvah. The Sefer Yoreim does. Tziva Yotzreinu beParshas Ve'ela Maaseh Lo Tachanivu Es Ha'aretz. So argues the Yoreim, this is a mitzvah. He quotes the Midrash, V'tanya B'Sifra Harezi Azhar L'Chanifim. So this is a mitzvah lo ta'aseh, one shall not flatter. Now here it is. Here's the first time we're going to see a definition of this mitzvah in the Rishonim. V'harein mefarish per kanufa, shezira alah tor, what in the blazes does this mitzvah mean? Kol ha-shomeya davar avala. If you hear something that is a sin, v'she'eno hagon, or something that's inappropriate, o ro'ed davar, or you see something bad, v'amar tov hu. And you say that thing is good. So, lamashal, if I have a neighbor who drives on Shabbos and he goes to the Yankee game on a Friday night and I see him pull up to his driveway late in the evening and I say, oh, how'd you, and he's a Jew, and I say, oh, you went to the Yankee game tonight? Oh, that's awesome. No, that's not awesome. That's an Isser Midoraisa of violating Shabbos. You don't tell your Jewish neighbor who went to a Yankee game on Shabbos that was awesome, because it's not awesome. Now, obviously, practically, we'll have to talk about nowadays with so many unaffiliated Jews who simply don't know better, and we try to get along with all of our neighbors, irrespective of their religious observance. So we'll have to talk about that. But this, at first glance, is the Isser. One shall not compliment a Jew for violating the Torah. Okay, so when did this happen in Shas? Every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam, as Rabbi Yosef Adler likes to say, everyone needs to know this Mishnah. This is like the most famous source in Shas about this sugya. So there was a fellow, Agrippas HaMelech. Agrippas HaMelech does not have the most kosher of backgrounds. He is a Jew by Jewish law because his mother was a Jew. But he comes from fathers of Herod, namely, he descends from an Evid Kanaani family. Not exactly the most prestigious of families, but he elbows his way into office as the king. So Agrippas HaMelech, Amar V'kibe.
He was appointed by Octavius, by Claudius to be...
Okay, now again, Sam, Stuart, there are two Agrippases.
Yeah, this is the first one. This is Agrippa.
Okay. Now, Stuart knows a lot more about these things than me. I'm going to just, you know, the art school footnotes, they go to town on the history there. So they try to posit that this is Agrippas. I'm not going to say which one, but they don't agree with you, Stuart. Again, you
know. Okay, you should try the Koran Gemara. They give it.
Stuart with a quick I like that. Okay, now my high school competition faces out. All right, Stuart, I'll take you over art school any day, okay? All right, Stuart, you're still number one in my book. But again, there's more there to the discussion, okay? All right, maybe you could buy me the Koran Shas for Hanukkah, whatever. All right, so let's go on. So,
Rabbi, when you tell that to Stuart, you'll take him over the yard scroll. Was that Khanifa?
All right. Very good. Very good. Yes, Adam's like sitting here in person. I can't hear any of your jokes, but he's here. He's here, Lishma. We appreciate Dr. Karp's keeping me company in person. Okay. Anyway, what's going on over here? That Agrippus was not really, we'll say, 100% Jewish. His father was not officially all that Jewish, we'll say. Again, Evachnani converts at the end, but he's reading Hakel. He's reading the Torah, as a king should, on the eighth year in the Shemitah cycle, on Sukkot, right? And what happens? He gets up to the Pasuk that says, Lalo tuchal laseis alecha ish nachri. One shall not appoint as a king a non-Jewish individual. So Zalgu in of Dimas, he started to cry. Agrippa felt that he was fraudulent, that he was not fit to be the king. So he's crying. Imagine a very dramatic scene. The king is crying in front of the entire nation. So Amru lo atishare Agrippa. The Jews console him. Achenu ata. They say, Agrippa, you're really our brother. You're really our brother. Now again, he was a Jew. His mother was a Jew. Yet the Gemara severely criticizes Klal Yisrael for this response. When the Jewish people consoled Agrippas, they deserved to be destroyed. Why? Because they flattered Agrippas. Ding, 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 ding. That's our key term for this evening. A halachic example of where the Jewish people violated this answer of Chanufa. And there happens to be a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos there. What exactly the issue is. Tosfos assumes that he was not allowed to become king at all, because if only your mother is a Jew, you're not entitled to be a king. Rashi disagrees. That's a little bit of a side topic. But Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, now the Gemara goes on to elaborate on the profound isser and horrible outcome of those who will violate this. Miyom shegavar agrupa shel chanufa. Now that's a play on words. An egrov is a fist. So on the day that the fist or the strength of flattery, right now it's a play on words because agripas amelech, right? But the day that the power of flattery spread, this avu hadinin, all of the law became corrupt. Niskalkalu hamasim, all good actions were basically watered down. Can anyone explain why society falls apart when chanufa is at play? Can anyone just formulate what? Imagine if we flattered Ovrei Averu. Why would that lead to a breakdown in society? Like, what would happen? Imagine if we congratulated Ovrei Avodah Zarah and murderers, right? So, like, naturally, people would not feel a sense of awe in front of the law, right? And I'll tell you, I just quote to you some of the Rashi that we have over here. Rashi says, well, the judges would be corrupt because they're not going to protest, right? So wait a minute, all of a sudden the judges are going to flatter the people who are on trial. And people who see inferior Jews violating the Torah, they're not going to protest. And people are going to do whatever they want. I feel like in high school, if you have firm rules in your classroom, the students will not mess with you. If on the first day of school, you show the students that they can walk all over you, you're done. Because the students know that they can get away with whatever they want to get away with. Now, again, obviously not every kid's going to take advantage of his teacher, but you need to come out with, you can't give off the impression that you have no backbone, especially in education. So too, in society at large, if we don't hold a standard, the people are going to use their Yetzer Hara as they please, because they're not going to feel like there's any accountability. So it's a pretty severe isser if you don't have law and accountability, society will break down. And that very much connects to the whole issue with Shechem, you know, why they deserve to die. They had a breakdown in society there as well. They didn't have court system, you know, out of Ayin the Ramban. But
Rabbi, don't we make movies about gangsters and glorify the Godfather and all sorts of movies like that? Basically glorify the gangsters, their lifestyle, how they live.
Very good. So Sam Heller... famously, you know, has yichus to his cool son and TABC hockey legend, Michael Heller. So Sam makes a very good point, Adam, that...
It's because it sells tickets. That's
AB elaborates on the issue.
About the is that what people society. Do now, These guys are heroes.
Horrifying bad things, right? Like a horror movie, or Rahman al-Islam, even worse, right? With all the content that is inappropriate out there, and society allows it to happen. So
they sell tickets, they make money off Bonnie and Clyde, and
yeah, 100%, Sam. You know, Godfather, etc. 100%. I'm with you all there. That now again, Western culture and Jewish culture have some pretty big clashes, and this is one of the larger clashes. In American society, there's a concept knowing as being judgmental, which means I'm allowed to do whatever I want, and if you think I'm wrong, you're at fault for judging me. In stark contrast to that, we assume Kol Yisrael are even Zebazet, and if someone is violating the Torah or not living up to par, we are held accountable for not protesting. Now, practically speaking, that is the most sensitive area of Be'er HaMachaveru, especially in our generation. But what Sam very sharply points out is that seemingly Western culture has fallen prey to the Isser of Chanufa, and you can be considered a hero for being Rahman al-Islam, a movie star that represents very, very inappropriate behavior, right? So is America, and by the way, it's not just Jewish religion, the Muslims frown upon America because they view American society as corrupt, as immoral, and they view it as a breakdown in their tradition. And any serious religion, again, I don't know enough about Christian theology, but certainly the people who take tzinius seriously are very bothered by what goes on in American culture. You know, and Sam, I appreciate you raising that point. So before we get to the heterim, I want to just point out the isurim again. So there's an isur on the books known as Chanufa. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah famously writes the Sha'arei Tshuva after he partakes in the Ramba, in the book burning of the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. He feels guilty, and therefore he decides to dedicate his life to Tshuva, and he writes one of the most significant Tshuva works ever, the Rabbeinu Yonah's Sha'arei Tshuva. And he does this as an act of Tshuva when he regrets partaking in the anti-Rambam book burnings. And Rabbeinu Yonah says there are actually nine different categories of Chanufa. I just gave you three of them here. What's the most dramatic one? HaChanaf asher hikir o roe o yodeh ki yesh avel bekaf chavero v'chi hezik betarmis o kiechta ish balashen hara o ba'onas devar. I mean, I know that my friend Reuven is violating Isser v'yachlik lo lashen hara le'mor lo pa'alta oven. And I look at my buddy Reuven and I say, oh, you did not do anything wrong. Meaning I know that he did something wrong, and I verbalize to him, you didn't do anything wrong. I actually tell the guy that he's totally kosher when in fact he's violating the Torah. Similarly, you know, category number four is if you're friends with a Russia, hamischaber l'Russia. So not only are you not giving mussar to the guy for violating the Torah, you're not giving him mussar, but you're actually befriending him. So how could you be friendly with someone who is violating the Torah? Seemingly, you are embracing and encouraging his behavior. And the ninth guy is the one who just honors Rishayim Miderach Shalom. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah says, but at least in this one, there's a heter. Just to treat someone with basic human dignity is not usur if you need that person or you are afraid that that person might harm you. Ba'af gam zeh yesh chet v'ashama. But there is a heter, again, if you're afraid, if that person is in a place of authority who can harm you, then there's a heter. But again, but even category number nine, before we get to the heterim, is that even treating an individual who is an avaryan with respect is a violation of Chanufa. Holy smokes. So if we were to stop here, we have a very, very serious isser. And I want to just give you some of the personal examples of my life. So I was the Hebrew school rabbi for 4 years in JYP and TABC Sunday mornings. Now they have a branch here in Fairlawn. Debbie Rapps, God bless her, has been doing phenomenal work for like 30 years in Bergen County and Rabbi Yitzhak Weinberger. So I was zocha to be the rabbi there for 4 years. And let's just say at my Shabbos table, during those 4 years, not everyone was Jewish, number one. And imagine having a wonderful Jewish woman with a yummy, wonderful Jewish kid with a non-Jewish husband, you know. And if you invite them to your Shabbos table and you give them chicken soup and challah and kugel, that kid's going to love Judaism. And if you ostracize them, you know what happens. And I have a friend who is dating a non-Jew. And I remember asking my Rav, do we ostracize anymore? And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It does not accomplish anything. So what does that mean? I treat this kid who I grew up with, who I was friendly with my whole life, as a regular Joe. I still invite him to my Shabbos table with his non-Jewish girlfriend. These are very, very complicated shaylos, and these are just, you know, of many cases where you have such a case. In Fairlawn, the amount of Jews in Fairlawn who are not Orthodox is a rather staggering number. And I remember, to the most awkward degree, I was walking to shul on Shabbos morning or Yom Tov morning, and a man who lives very close to me, who I have a very nice relationship with, rolls down his window as he sees me walking to shul and says, good Shabbos. And what, Adam? That's not a comment, right? And what's the issue? Nowadays, no one feels guilty because these people are innocent to a large degree. They don't even know it's wrong in many of the cases. Now, again, there's a big difference between the kid who grows up from and Beshita marries out of the faith versus the person who grew up unaffiliated and simply doesn't realize that he's uneducated. He, you know, sometimes they just don't know any better, actually, or they don't realize the severity of the law. They, you know, and that's what we call a tinuk shenishba. But this is how far we have, you know, come with regard to societal norms, where you can have a Jew pull down the window on the Shabbos morning and give me a friendly good Shabbos as he drives off. And he doesn't feel guilty. He's not hiding from me. He's saying, he's going out of his way to say hello to me, and he knows I'm an Orthodox rabbi. So, and he doesn't feel ashamed because he doesn't know, he's innocent, and he's sincere. It's not being facetious. So this is very scary. You have to really know your stuff with this halacha, because you don't want to, you know, embrace it, and you don't want to encourage it, but at the same time, our nature is to be loving and tolerant in America in the year 2020. So, so Adam says it's Shuvah Ramosha. There it is. Adam's stealing my shiur already. What? Oh, no. So we're talking about a different Shuvah. So Adam's saying, if there's a boy whose father's not Jewish, can he have a bar mitzvah in shul? Yeah, what does he say, Adam?
He says,
Pashit, no. Ooh. Wow. I have to see that shuvah. All right. So Adam, I believe you. I have to see that shuvah, though. And then I'll come up with my speech on the topic. And now let's get to the heterim. Now that I gave you that introduction with the background, let's learn about the heterim.
Good. Rabbi, doesn't some of this come under the category of lifnei ver?
Oh, very good. So Mrs. Karp, a highly religious woman who has yichus still highly religious man, according to Fox News. So very good, Mrs. Karp, that you're saying you're not allowed to do something that will lead a Jew to violate the Torah, right? So the classic example.
Defending someone and saying what you're doing is right when it's wrong,
right.
Sounds like.
Very good. So what Mrs. Karp is pointing out in the Lumdus is that maybe the reason why the Rambam does not count this as a separate Isser or a separate mitzvah is because it's already under an already existing mitzvah, let's say like Lifnei Iver. Very good. So this is severe overlap. Yeah, and you are right, right? Meaning the famous chuvos about can you invite a Jew over for your Friday night meal? And then he's going to drive home. The issue there is that it's lifnei iver. You're encouraging them to drive home. But that's more about me doing something that will directly cause them to do an action in violation of the Torah. This is less about me causing them to do an action, more about our interactions and our overall temperament, meaning do I support this person or do I not support this person? It's more related to the mitzvah of tochacha, of rebuke. But yeah, there's severe overlap. You're definitely right about that. And maybe the reason why the Rambam does not count it as a separate mitzvah might be based on what you're saying. So let's get back, Debbie, did I satisfy your question? Do you justice, Debbie?
Sounds good, thank you.
Let's take that as a yes. Harp, I hope I answered your question. Okay, so what happens in the Parsha? So the Rav Shimon Mepazi, Mesechta Sota, says, Mutter lahachnif l'rishom. You are allowed to be machnif rishom ba'olam hazeh. Huh? So even though there's an Isser of Chanufa, you are allowed apparently to do it. Meaning there's some heter out there. And where do we know that? So Rav Shimon Ben-Lakish says it's from this week's Parsha. Because Yaakov Avinu says, Kirot p'nei Eloki, it's Elohim v'tirtzeini. Oh. So Yaakov Avinu did it. If Yaakov Avinu gave Esav a compliment, that is a heter for us, that you're allowed to compliment Rishayim. So Alvin, we have a heter from Yaakov Avinu, a very reliable rabbi. Yaakov Avinu did it. So seemingly there's some heter on the books. Rabbi Levi said, no. Rabbi Levi is like the second shot on Rashi. Yaakov Avinu wasn't complimenting Esav. Yaakov Avinu was trying to intimidate Esav. The Malach was not Esav. The Malach was that Malach Shel Esav that Yaakov beat and was trying to intimidate Esav. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Levi's against it. But Tosfos say as follows, that what's heter number one? Aval b'makom sakana mutter. Oh, why are you allowed to flatter a Russia if there is a sakana? Meaning if Esav is going to kill Yaakov, Yaakov is allowed to flatter Esav. Because what would have happened if Yaakov did not flatter Esav? He might have been killed. So Robert, what's heter number one? You're allowed to flatter a Russia if your life is at stake. All right, obviously, right? So Rahman al-Aslan, if you tell a Nazi or someone like that some form of compliment, and that would save your life, so that would be permissible. And the Torah Tumima asks in this week's Parsha, says, what in the world is the Chiddush? Anytime there's Pikuach Nefesh, you're always allowed to violate the Torah. So therefore, the Torah Tumima says, that's not what Tosfos mean. Tosfos means, afilu b'makom chashash nidnu sakana. Meaning, maybe even if you might be in danger, then you're also allowed to flatter the Russia. And here's an even bigger Chiddush, which is also found in the Yerei. And the Torah Tumima says, the chain b'makom hefser mamon meruba ukedome, which means if I don't flatter this Russia, I'm going to lose out on a lot of money. I'm allowed to flatter the Jew, or the Russia, or I'm allowed to flatter the Russia. Wow. So again, this might be if you have a very wealthy family member, and you don't really think that the person is particularly well dressed, but you also want to be included in their will, right? And they drove to your house on Shabbos for a Shabbos meal. And you say, wow, you look so beautiful this Shabbos, because you're afraid that if you don't flatter them, you're going to be kicked out of the will and you're going to lose out on all that money. So that already is heter number two, that if it will lead to financial loss, you're also allowed to violate chanufa, meaning that's not considered a chanufa. Fascinating idea. Now again, there is another story in Shas in Maseches Nedarim, where Ula was in danger, and therefore he complimented the Russia, and he said to Rabbi Yochanan, did I do the right thing? Rabbi Yochanan said, of course you did the right thing because your life was in danger, but I want to get to the tshuva of Rav Moshe. So too, we've seen two etayim. If your life is in danger, number one. Number two, if your life might be in danger, that's number two. And really number three, if you might lose money. So all of a sudden, we're getting pretty mako pretty quickly in some of the Rishonim and the Poskim. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about the question as follows. There was a very wealthy doctor who a Jewish community really relied upon. He was a wealthy individual and they needed his medical expertise and they needed his donations. But he violated the severe issue of marrying a goy. And they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is from Rav Aryeh Eckstein, Rav Moshe, are we allowed to give this guy psicha in shul? This doctor feels like he wants to be part of the community still. So what do you think, Chevra? Jerome, what do you think? Let's put Jerome on the spot. Jerome, do you think it is a violation of chanufa to give this individual psicha? Because after all, he married a goy. Should we not ostracize? What do we think? Jerome, I'm just kidding. Anyone who wants to answer can answer. Jerome, you're muted, by the way. Jerome, you're muted. Let me just unmute you. Yeah, you can unmute yourself. What do you think, Jerome?
Yeah. Ask your LOR.
Let's go. Oh, wow. He pivots. Okay, Robert. Yeah, what would you say, Robert? You'd be Makil? No.
I'd say you're not violating because you said the money factor was one factor and the Nefesh, they need him.
Oh, very good. So Robert says we have both Eterim. Number one, if he can save a life as a doctor, connected to Pikuach Nefesh, and if it leads to financial loss, so very good. The only thing is that Rav Moshe is able to disagree. So Adam is yelling at me live right now, which is exciting. Hold on, Adam. I just want to explain to everyone what's going on. Adam is saying that Moshe should be machmir based on the other tshuva about the bar mitzvah boy, right? Right, and as Debbie pointed out, Moshe also is vehemently opposed to inviting non-Orthodox Jews to your house Friday night because they're going to end up driving home. He compares that to a Mesis, someone in Avodah Zarah.
Yes. So I never heard that it's a problem to not to give an aliyah to somebody who
matters. Ah, very good. So Peter Weissman points out these are different dinim. So much to give the guy an aliyah. Very good, Peter. Excellent. Okay, Peter, Bezra Hashem, I give you a mitzvah note to Rav Shlomo Weissman Shlita. Very good, Peter. Excellent. That you are nailed it. That giving someone psicha is not really a big deal, by the way. So argues Rav Moshe, this whole thing, so he makes a couple of points. He says, number one, he came up with a bunch of things. I made different bullet points. That it's all about chanufa. He says, it's not etzam in your psicha, v'sikir's aron laniyach labal aver, leikish shum iser. You don't violate chanufa by giving someone psicha. That's not like a problem. You're not allowed to, congratulate a Russia. But giving someone psicha is not a compliment, so to speak. That's number one. Number two, he elaborates on the Tosfos. I'm not going to get into all the lamdas. If anyone is interested in seeing this at a greater depth, you can look at the Mar Makomos posted on yutorah.org, not on the app, but on the website. Rav Moshe comes up with a very important heter. And he says it's only a violation of chanufa when you directly support the actual avera. Meaning, if I were to say, you know what, your wife, she's a great catch for you. I support this marriage. That is chanufa, because you're directly supporting his avera. That is a problem. But to just support the person as a whole is not a problem. Wow. And he says, let's say, to call him a good doctor is certainly not a problem of chanufa, because you're allowed to give him credit where credit is due. Wow. So what a heter by Rav Moshe. He says, V'im kein efshar shekol iser chanufa hu rak b'kagon zeduk haskama al ha'iser v'al din sheker. Says Rav Moshe, the whole nature of iser chanufa is when you fabricate the Torah, when you're making it appear as if the Torah is flexible, and that's a problem. But to give someone a compliment not related to their avera that's a problem. And this, frankly, leads to the justification of contemporary American Jewish society. When we are cordial with our non-religious Jewish neighbors and colleagues, what we're basically saying is that I don't support the fact that you violate the Torah. I support you as a person. I think that you're a fine individual and you are helping society. The fact that you do some things that are in direct violation of the Torah, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to leave that on the sideline. Now, a European Rav, a Rav maybe who lived 100 years ago, might have said, but how could you just let it go? Didn't Rabbeinu Yonah say that there are 9 different categories of chanufa, and one of them is just by remaining silent, by the way. You violate chanufa just by letting it happen in your presence. You have an obligation to stand up for the Torah. But Rav Moshe lived in America in the 1900s, and I think this is where the local contemporary Orthodox rabbi comes in. And I think we all have the seichel nowadays to understand the sensitivity of interactions, but it doesn't make it okay to justify the avera. About a year and a half ago, I was talking with a woman who is currently dating very seriously a non-Jewish man. And I had to kind of, tiptoe around this issue of supporting her as an individual. I support you as a Jew. You're a wonderful individual. And I even think your boyfriend is a wonderful individual as a non-Jew. But I want to officiate at your wedding. I don't think that you should be dating him. It's a very fine line. And again, I think we all see it commonly enough to know how to balance and toe the line, but that's where Rav Moshe comes in. Okay, so at this point, I think I'm going to take questions or any comments. I'm happy to take your, and again, you can see the Makoros on the Torah and the recording.